Hi, it's the third day of Gulaschprogrammiernacht. Welcome, lovely life forms. Today, Dortak will be speaking about why files are difficult, and I can really relate because, yeah, I might have a data hoarding problem. So give a warm welcome to Dortak.
My name is Dorota. Hello. And I come here because I have a problem. My files are a mess. And maybe you also, some of you, have the same problem. Do you really have the same problem? Yeah. I don't feel so alone anymore. Yeah, so do you know why you have this problem? Yeah, I've kind of been, you know, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I came to all this thought. Oh, shoelaces. I tried to learn some new knotting techniques to actually make this work for me, but shoelaces have always been crappy. And yeah, so sometimes it makes me want to just throw it away, but then I would have to walk barefoot. And shoes are kind of important, you know? They provide a protection, and yeah.
You could also use Velcro straps.
Yeah, why didn't I think of it? Yeah, I mean, I don't have Velcro straps right now, so I kind of have to put up with this, and I'm going to tie this shoe back and use it. But it's kind of like with file system, isn't it? We've been used to hierarchical file systems. I've been used to hierarchical file systems. And I've been using it, even if it doesn't fit, it makes me fall down on my face at the computer when there's a mess. But I don't know of any alternatives. I've been putting up with hierarchical file systems because this is what I have known since I got my first computer. Okay, out of all of you, who had gotten the first computer that was not based on a hierarchical file system? Hands up. Well, there's like 7 people out of, I don't know, 100. That's more than I thought. So hierarchical file systems are something that most of us have known, and this is what most of us are using up to this day. But we still end up with a mess. So they clearly don't work for us. I think we just have a blind spot. We don't know the Velcro alternative to file systems, and we don't want to throw away files completely because it would be like walking barefoot in the computer's area. That doesn't make sense. Files are useful. It's just we are not having any good way to deal with them. And that sucks. Files suck the way that we use them now, and I'm going to demonstrate it. When I came here to the GPN, I had to prepare this presentation, and I have a small demo here. Let's do it together. I have a presentation about file systems and the GPN, and I have a bunch of resources that come to this presentation. And one of these resources is a video that I downloaded from the internet. Here's the video. But I want to organize it. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to create a folder that's called file systems. And I want to have like some file organizations that I can organize all the stuff that I have put into this presentation in a sensible way that corresponds to my concept. So I have a file systems directory, but where do they put this video? Come on. Ideas. Do I put it in the downloads directory inside it? Do I put it beside it? Come on, any ideas? Proposals?
No spaces.
No spaces is out of scope. Video subfolder, okay. So I'm going to switch the view to make it a bit easier. Videos, almost. That's good enough. And Yeah, so we have a video here. Okay, it kind of works, but it doesn't really tell me anything about who made this video. I did not make this video. I don't want to make a mistake that I actually have any copyright or whatever. So what do I do now? Come on, come on.
New folder.
New folder. Where?
Beneath
the videos.
Yeah.
Okay, new folder. What do I call it?
The author's name.
The what?
Authors.
I don't know the author, so I'm just going to write website. Generic author. Good. And there is another thing that I want to show to you later. I'm going to show this video, don't worry. But I also want to show a picture that I took a long time ago. And this picture, well, not that long, but the picture lives in a pictures video directory. And it's this picture. I really like it. So what do we do? I don't want to move the picture away. The pictures live in all my live in my downloads directory, and I want to preserve the information. It's my, not downloads, it's my pictures directory. All my pictures and the photos, I made them, and I want to keep them there, because it has like backups set up there. So how do I associate it with my presentation? Go on, any ideas?
Symlink.
Symlink, okay. Can I create a symlink? Well, I'm not seeing a way to create a symlink, so make a copy. But where do I put the copy? Subfolder, where? Here. Okay.
Can you name
the video folder to media? Oh, video folder to media. No, no, no. Come on, come on.
Pictures.
Pictures. Pictures, should I put it in media also? Oh, too difficult. Should I paste it here or what now? What now? Okay, I'm just going to paste it here. But there was a proposal to put a media directory, which is kind of sensible, but okay, whatever. I have this picture here, and those are like the source files for my presentation, but also imagine that the presentation is already over and someone took a picture. Hello, my friend Biscuit took a picture of me as I'm making the presentation, and in 2 days the Biscuit friend is sending me the picture. And where do I put that picture? I want to have it associated with the presentation because it is about the presentation, but it's not a source for the presentation, so what do I do? Sorry? Which directory?
Target directory.
Target directory. I don't know where this is going, but it sounds cool.
Whatever you do, be consistent with yourself.
I don't have any consistency. See, that's the thing. I think you hit the point exactly. So we have made a lot of decisions here, and some decisions made sense like in the moment, but they might not make sense tomorrow. Maybe I'm going to have another file that I want to put in there, and my entire concept is going to change. Look, for example, I might want to have another folder that is called GPN, because the presentation is not in the vacuum. So yeah, I put it in the GPN, and then I have another level of the hierarchy. And this is complicated. This is not how my mind works. I might have made different decisions if you asked me yesterday. When I was preparing the presentation, this directory structure was completely different. And this is annoying. So let's see, notice that file systems don't work very well, but what does it really work like? I'm going to try to sketch a diagram of thoughts and concepts, which is closer to what my mind works, because I think this is how we can get at the problem where we actually don't, or like, we can, in this way, we can analyze how we actually try to think about the problem so that we can model it properly, the problem of storing data. So let's do it. File systems is the central concept here. But there's also a concept which is, for example, GPN. And I want to connect those concepts. Wait, how did you connect things again? Right, there you go. GPN is the event and the file system thing is a presentation. And I connect it again. Maybe this is too small. So now we have like a beginning of connection between concepts. We don't have any files yet. So what happens if we put the video files? Here is a file, which is the video. And now, there's a file called video, and it comes from a random source, which is a website. And the website has the connection to the video. So I connect it to the video, and also I connect the video as an input to file systems. Okay, this is quite logical, I think, to me at least. And let's put another file, which is the photo. The photo already exists somewhere. And it has been created by me, so I don't bother adding a source. But it's also an input to the presentation. But there is another thing that in our scenario where my friend Biscuit sent me the photo. So I create a concept for my friend Biscuit and the photo that Biscuit made. Another photo. Great. Now I can relate those concepts. There we go. The biscuit is the source of the photo. But I'm going to put an arrow differently. The file systems is actually the source for the photo and not the other way around. So there's a distinction between everything else. And here we go. Yeah. So this is kind of like a concept map, which is the way that I think about my data. And question to you, is this weird? Yes, no, I see people shaking hands. Can everyone who thinks that this is super weird like raise their hands? Okay, thank you. So my point is that there have been people shaking their heads. And those people have been like me. They have grown with hierarchical file systems. Hierarchical file systems have been there for at least 30 years. Meaning that there has been at least 30 years for people who think like that, but have to deal with that. So I think unless I'm extremely unusual, someone had already thought about this. Someone had already noticed that this sucks, and someone had already found maybe a solution, if one exists, something better that we can actually use more in the way that our minds work. And I think this is the moment where we have to jump into the history and see where the problem is coming from, and maybe we can find a solution. So this is my actual file systems folder. To drive the point, if my presentation is about file systems, I'm going to present from my file system. So you have an exclusive view into my working directory. And there is a slide with history. Hierarchical file systems. First, I have managed to trace them to a paper from 1965. So they are almost 70 years old, am I right? No, 60 years old. It's an amazing amount of time, so definitely people have made observations about them. Maybe we can learn something from them. The first implementation that I have been able to dig up is from 1969 on Multics mainframes. Soon it came to Unix, and why our file's a mess? In some way, it can be traced to that paper. The first operating system that used hierarchical file systems on personal computers that I have found is PC-DOS from 1983. And going back to the paper, I'm going to show you this. This is the paper with first mention of hierarchical file systems. And I believe, in some sense, this is why your files are a mess. This is why my files are a mess. Thank you, RC Daily and PG Newman. In some sense, those are the guys you can point at when someone asks you why this is such a mess. But if you read the description, it is basically mentioning technical constraints at the time and less focused about user needs, or at least not the user needs are not so relevant today as as they were before. So it is mostly talking about the technical reasons for that. It doesn't really explain why in the paper. I have tried to skim the paper to find the reasoning, but it's basically presenting something and, yeah, deal with it. So, yeah, it is mostly about sharing resources and less about organizing them. So at this point, I should show you some nice path of looking through history and finding enlightenment, but this is not really so easy. In reality, what I did was I was confused for many, many years. I had this blind spot that most of us probably have, and I have no idea what is inside the blind spot, but I read about all things computer, and I have come across different pieces of information that were describing things like managing data and concepts. And with time, this blind spot started taking some texture, and now it's kind of blurry. But over the years, I collected some pieces of information, and yeah, basically that's why I'm here. It's basically just collecting experience, and I'm trying to push that experience forward, so maybe we can fill our blind spots with useful information. It doesn't mean that we are going to find a better alternative, but we can try. So I want to still make a note that in this concept map, there are basically two different kinds of relationships. Those here, the presentation and the GPN, those are kind of single one-to-one relationships. Well, maybe not, but they relate a concept to a concept directly. They're basically labels for something. And those correspond tightly to tags that are a very important concept in managing data that we'll come back to later. But there is also another way. All those remaining arrows, they are describing a directed relationship, and they are describing some kind of sources. And I think sources are a critical part of what file systems could track, but they aren't. The data comes from somewhere. Either you created it, or you transformed it using a program, or you downloaded it from someone else. But this information is not stored on our computers. Doesn't that really suck? I mean, if I could query the computer automatically by sources, I wouldn't really have to worry about all the files that we created there, because the purpose of the file, well, okay, we didn't create that much source-relevant information here, but a lot of that would be preserved, and we would have less decisions to make. I wouldn't have to create a downloads directory like I actually did in real life here. So, yeah, computers don't track source information. Or do they? Who has ever heard about the Mark of the Web? There is two people. Oh, wow, I was expecting more people to actually know that. Mark of the Web is a piece of metadata present on NTFS file systems on Microsoft Windows. And this piece of metadata tells you where the file comes from. It is being set by the web browser, typically. Maybe it was something else, but the only thing that I'm aware of is the web browser. And Mark of the Web tells you where a piece of information came from. And if you have seen that, Mark of the Web, I'm pretty sure you have. It is actually very easy to spot because it shows up like this on Windows. Do you want to run this file? The file has been downloaded from the internet. Who has seen that? Wow, look at this. So we are actually in the future, but we are not making proper use of the future. How cool is this? The Mark of the Web is not a normal piece of metadata. File systems which are traditionally hierarchical, or at least in my ad hoc definition, they store typically metadata like the permissions, or the date of creation, or access, whatever, but they don't store any source information. Source is not really a fixed piece of information. There can be a URL, there can be like if you go really crazy, you could imagine that there is a command line that's produced the file. And indeed, on Windows, the source is actually a file alongside the file. And it is implemented in an alternate stream, which looks kind of like this. If you look at the file, you actually see that there are two files inside. One is the elevating setup, in this case, and the file alongside is zone identifier. This is called a fork or an alternate stream, again. And it contains zone ID, in this case, I think it's downloaded from the internet. On newer versions of Windows, you actually have more information, but somehow it's not working. On newer versions of Windows, it actually contains the URL where you downloaded it. But there's a problem with all of this. Yes, we can have arbitrary metadata if we support it. So it needs support on one side from some software that creates the association between the original source and actually puts the metadata inside. And on the other hand, you need software that actually makes use of it. And this is a problem. Even if you have downloaded, for example, a zip file on a Windows computer, and then you extract the zip files, then the contents of this zip file, extracts regular files from the zip file, then the contents, they still come from the internet. Like, unzipping doesn't really transform it in any way. So they should carry the same mark of the web. But if you unzip it, as far as I know, with 7-zip, the mark of the web is gone. You still have clean files again. That doesn't make sense. You're losing metadata. This is not the point. The file system should not lose data or metadata that is actually important for you. You can no longer query, hey, which files have I downloaded from this website? And this file will not show up. That doesn't make sense. So you actually need application support to make use of your metadata. And that means basically changing the file system, changing the entire ecosystem to support the things that we want. If we want to have proper support for sources, we need to actually build applications that can support those sources. And it's not easy. If you think about a file system programming interface, you have the calls open, read, write, close. Nothing about metadata. You actually have to go out of your way and think about metadata to actually track it. Yeah, if you care about this, maybe, but it is not something that you do automatically, making it difficult. But metadata that is separate is not the only kind of metadata that you have. There is also metadata that is placed directly inside files. It's called EXIF, for example. For pictures, it's EXIF or XMP. And you can do crazy stuff with it. Let me show you. There is a category of software, which is called photo managers. And they heavily take advantage of the metadata that you find in your files. Here are the pictures that I promised to show you before. They are just pictures, not very interesting, but they carry metadata. You can see, maybe, that the metadata shows you the resolution, the camera that I used, the aperture and exposure stuff. That's all metadata, it's fine. So you actually don't need hierarchical file systems that have this addition of forks and alternate streams. But there is a very interesting thing that they can do, that metadata allows us to do, which is querying by some metadata properties. So, for example, I can show all the pictures that were made on a certain day. I'm going to make a detour here to ask you, what is the purpose of a file system from the user experience point of view? What does a file system give to you as a user? Any answers? Go on.
Data organization.
Data organization. And I might be committing a heresy. I have prepared a special picture for heresy. please don't burn me at the stake until I finish with the presentation. But basically, I'm going to say that file systems are for organizing your data, for querying your data, and for retrieving the data. So with that in mind, we're going back to the photo manager. Is the photo manager a file system? This is my heresy. I'm saying that this is a file system, or at least half a file system. Okay, you cannot create a picture using a photo manager. You cannot fill all the metadata that it supports. But you can query your files. I am querying my files right now. And I'm querying over different properties. I'm querying it here over the time and the tags that I assigned before and the rating, whatever. And I can also retrieve the data and take a look at this beautiful picture. So this is kind of half a file system, right? And it's a domain-specific file system because it only concerns itself with photos and pictures. But it's organizing my data. So I think it's quite cool. But there's a bit difference between this and a hierarchical file system, where the difference is called indexing. OK, so not to go too deep into detail with indexing. Indexing means that if I choose pictures or whatever, my files, by a certain property, the query takes a short time. So if I go to the timeline view and I try to switch to another day, OK, it took a moment. If I try to choose them by album, it also doesn't take any time. And if I go to my hierarchical file system, if I try to refresh this, actually, it doesn't have a refresh button clearly, so I'm just going to do it by the keyboard. If I refresh this, I'm making a query. Please show me all the files that are inside the sources directory. That took a split second. But on the other hand, if I try to ask my file system, I wrote a special script that asks the file system to find all the files that I have modified in the last week. Okay, so how long does it take? Yeah, 1 second, 10 seconds. It takes about 15 seconds, if I'm not wrong. This is because there is no index in a hierarchical file system that queries the metadata, the time metadata. So it's a kind of mismatch. Querying is the reason that application, whoa, 20 seconds. Querying is the reason that we even have those kind of programs. The querying with a special database here, this program is using a separate database to be able to create the indices. This has the problem that you have to synchronize the same data over several sources. First, you have the data in the actual file system with the modifications times and stuff. And then you have a copy of the same data inside the database belonging to the application. It means you have to synchronize it. If you have to synchronize it, then there is a risk of desynchronizing. So it kind of call it the tumor file system, because it's not really integrated. You cannot use it without actually accessing the hierarchical file system that is underneath. You still have to care about the directories. And because of that, yeah, let's show you the layering diagram, what it actually looks like. There you go. This is how it looks like, right? Yeah, I think this is a bit of a problem. So maybe if we could get rid of the synchronization and we could get rid of the indexing problem, maybe we could actually merge those two layers together. Maybe we could merge this thing on the left and just put the database directly inside the file system. And what do we get now? We get a thing that's called a database file system. And this also has a long history. I have another slide to show you the history of database file systems, because they do exactly what I described. Well, on the left, we have we have the hierarchical file systems, and on the right we have a cutoff, so I'm just going to make the window smaller. I have looked at some resources describing database file systems, and they go back all the way to 1969. It was actually the CAFS was actually a piece of hardware that was relevant back in the day, but it was basically a database. The first relational database that I could find was IBM DB2 in 1988. The first database file system for personal operating systems was the BFS. Which was kind of bad, judging by the C++ interface. It didn't support a full query language, but it had some nice querying options. It also is the same time that I have traced the first two more file systems, because first they started it with the same concept that maybe we can put a database on top of the hierarchical file system. And this kind of, yeah, I think they didn't finish it or something. And there's the big one, the killer, WinFS. Who has heard about WinFS? There's a couple of people. Did anyone ever work with WinFS or something? That was a stretch. OK, WinFS is the file system that was supposed to ship with Windows Vista, but as we know, it never happened. And this is another reason why maybe our files are a mess. If this came to fruition, this was a proper database file system with querying and SQL, I think. If this was actually finished for Windows and integrated, maybe we could have a completely different set of problems with files. So in some way, I think this is also why we have a mess on our computers. Unfortunately, it died. It died because an opinion that I read said that there was no use case. But I think it's kind of like chicken and egg problem. If you don't have a hierarchical, if you don't have a database file system, then people don't know what to do with it. If you don't have any application that does something cool, no one wants this. So I'm kind of questioning this opinion, because I think the biggest obstacle is, again, if you want to use that kind of a file system to its fullest extent, you need to have application support. You just cannot get away without it. Yeah, so this brings us to something that I'm sure everyone has used here, but it's a completely different user experience from a hierarchical file system. Any guesses? Everyone has used it. Yeah, OK, you're a very good student. The thing that manages your data, which is according to my definition of file system, on Android, is a completely different thing. There is no hierarchy. And it's not even clear what a file is. As far as I can tell, it's a bunch of domain-specific file systems that are kind of smashed together and work not really together with a lot of duplication. So I don't actually have an Android or an iOS phone, Linux mobile all the way. But I have done some research, and I could not identify what a file is just by looking at it. There, depending on the application, a file might be taken from basically the application might allow me to send using the same interface a picture to someone else, a contact, a calendar entry, or maybe my location. But beforehand, I don't really know which stuff can be sent, so this is awkward. And yeah, but on the other hand, it's kind of pushing the definition of what a file is. Because, I don't know about you, but I have not thought about my location as a file. And what happens if we push the definition of a file further? So is a tweet a file? Is my hotel check-in a file? I'm going to show you something. That something is called Perkeep. And that something comes from the video we put in earlier. Perkeep, yeah. Do we have sound?
So this search query is showing file name for next, just to show that yes, we support files, but we can consider files boring and increasingly antiquated. Nowadays, people don't create too many files as they used to. They create a lot of their content online, where there isn't necessarily an awesome file on the local machine. stream of your photos. But these aren't really much more interesting than files, but they are kind of like, you know, JPEG or files, you know? Here, Chris, this is a search for just my panoramic photos, and the search bar for this is panel. But more interestingly, we support things like importing, storing, indexing, searching your tweets, and rendering your tweets, so even if Twitter goes away, we still have a copy of them all. And yeah, some of them have contained media, so we sort of those into, but like, this tweet does this isn't like a file on the process file system that I can back up with the Mac software. Likewise, we support indexing and searching and importing things like check-ins, sometimes like first or sworn. And by default, if you go to your UI, this is my personal instance, you see like an infinite scrolling list of all your content, whether that's photos or tweets or check-ins or whatever. Files too, if you haven't used files.
So for all this stuff, you can see that we also have an interface that is an app, right? So all of these, like the Foursquare, just Foursquare is not one, that's all this way, the tweets, the images, anything that has a location.
Okay, so this is Parakeet. If anyone from the audience has been working on Parakeet, please talk to me. I want to see it happen. But it doesn't seem that it's very active right now. So this is pushing not only the definition of a file to something unexpected, but it's also erasing the distinction between something that is local and something that is remote. Tweets are remote, but as they said, files are not used that much anymore. But there is another thing that is remote, and it calls itself a file system, so therefore it must be a file system. It is called the interplanetary file system, and I mention it because it has this amazing property called content addressability, meaning that if you want to retrieve a resource, then you only need to know a hash of it. So who has heard about content addressability before? Yeah, we just had a talk about NICs, and I think this is also kind of in the same area. Content addressability is very nice because you don't need to copy data that much. Imagine that I have a friend who is collecting goulash recipes, and I have just found a recipe from my mom, and this recipe is a really nice goulash, and I want to send it to my friend, but the recipe is like 600 megabytes because it contains videos. Instead of sending 600 megabytes of the entire video, I asked my friend, hey, do you have a file that hashes to A, B, D, F, G? G? And they say, yes, I do. I have filed it as coming from the trolls in the GPN kitchen. And I, oh, this is also the same stuff that comes from my mom. So by addressing stuff using its hash, we just save a lot of copying data, and this can also be used to retrieve files from the internet. Oops. This is an IPFS gateway. It's going to take a moment. And you can see that the URL is a hash. The hash is the unique identifier of this particular blog post of someone. I don't really know what the blog post is, but it's good enough for an introduction. So IPFS is using content addressability. And I think together with tags, it is all the important concepts, but I still haven't talked about tags. Tags are the way that most alternate file systems, especially the tumor file systems that I mentioned before, that they want to organize your data. Instead of having a path that is the things that you consciously append to a file to identify it, instead you have like a bag of random tags, not random tags, tags that are meaningful to you. So instead of the path, you identify files by tags. And tagging is the crucial component that most of the projects that are today that I heard about that are trying to find something different than hierarchies, this is the thing that all of them seems to be very, very interested in. So now that we have covered tags, I think those are all the important concepts for the past. But what about the now? This is the past. I'm not going to show this slide for a long time, but there is also. Yeah, those are the things that we talked about. And which ones have survived until now? Well, some things are dead, mostly database file systems. I also crossed out Sparky because it seems not maintained. But WinFS is dead, CAFS is dead. The only database that is remaining is the database on IBM systems, which is not something that we are going to use. What does the future bring then? I think, I don't know if you agree, that the hierarchical file systems are not going anyway. POSIX is going to stay because so many people are using it. NTFS is going to stay because Microsoft is never going to die. What Android does, however you want to call that on the user experience side, I think it's also going to stay. Maybe it's going to like develop in an unpredictable direction, but my confidence in that is rather low. And I think things like Apple Spotlight is going to continue to exist. I also put tag spaces in there because it seems like the only existing tumor like file system is actually trying to do something today. And yeah, so what about the future? What do we want the future to be? Why do we even bother with considering the question? Well, we are bothering because our files are a mess. But can we actually solve it? And if we want to solve it, then what is the cost? So if we all try to imagine a standard for a database file system, do we even reach our goal? And I think it's only worth it if we get something for free. But first off, what are the costs? The costs are you actually have to change the entire application file system to take advantage and to take advantage in querying the metadata and to be able to set the relevant metadata, like the sources. In order to set the metadata, you have to have some machine learning. I think this is what Apple Spotlight does. It labels your pictures automatically. But you also need to query it. And you cannot automatically set metadata like the source. You cannot machine learn detect where your data sheet is coming from, for example. So you have to replace the entire file system. You have to create a special API to set the metadata. You have to define a query language. This is a lot. Is it worth it? Why should we bother? I think it is worth it if we get something for free. And how can we get something for free? Think about the application-specific, domain-specific application that you are using. For me, it was the photo manager. For someone else, it might be the music player. And for someone else, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of workout tracking where they show, where it shows the map and your track and some pictures. What if those were made general? If we can standardize on a set of metadata, and if we can port those existing domain-specific applications to use generic metadata instead of digging into files of a certain type and of a certain narrow specialization, if we can actually use it for any files, then imagine the possibilities. So, for example, maybe I could be a historian, and I could use the workout tracker to place. To track the movement of Napoleonic armies, or maybe I could put artifacts from like different archaeological sites on a map or something. There are so many different scientific applications and like not scientific, all kinds of applications that have software that does it. It just does it in a very non-generic way. I don't know what it is. I'm sure you can think of some examples, especially if you are more into a special topic. But maybe it's worth it. But yeah, so I am trying to take future in my own hands. And I'm trying to find out by experimentation what works and what doesn't work. The example with the recipe is actually something that I do when I copy my photos from the NAS where they normally live. Then I do my processing on the photos and I copy them back. And when I copy them back, I copy back hundreds of megabytes because they move them around and the directories don't match and there is no rewrite prompt. It's annoying. So yeah, this is something that would go away, for example, if I started experimenting with content addressability. Or I have this crazy idea. Maybe I could track what data sheet I have looked at last week because it had this particular transistor. And if I could query which data sheets that I have that contain a transistor that I have looked at, because my files are a mess, so I cannot find it again. If I could find a data sheet with a transistor that I know that is meeting my current needs, but I don't really know where it is. Or another thing, this idea with like a lazy file system. If you know all the sources of your files, for example, if you have been developing photos seriously, then you take raw pictures. And raw pictures need processing before they turn into JPEGs. The processing program usually leaves a file that contains the transformation of the raw to the JPEG. If you could associate the JPEG with the transformation and also with a raw file, you could reconstruct it. And what if I built this inside the file system directly? If you could track the metadata, then I would not have to store any of my JPEGs. I would just create them as needed when I access them. And for that, you need some tagging. You need to have the associations between different files. And you need your raw development pipeline, all the software that you use, to keep the connections between all the metadata. So the possibilities are endless here. At least for me, I can already think of 3 or 4 cases where experimenting with file systems would benefit me. And I kind of have this idea. I mean, I don't want to reinvent everything, but I want to reuse the pieces that exist. So I have this kind of concept where instead of creating my own database, I just put a SQLite file on a hierarchical file system. And instead of creating a directory structure, I just hash all the files and put them under the name of the hash. So like my picture turns into A, B, C, D, F, G. And I put them into the hierarchical file system, all in the same directory. I don't care. This is no longer relevant. All my metadata is inside the database. And then I call everything, I call all of this my API. So it's kind of, yeah, I outsource everything, and maybe I can do something that I actually am able to finish. So basically, by doing this trick, I am getting rid of the highest layers, and it looks kind of like, whoa, like this to the user. It doesn't matter what's on the lower layer of the stack. Anyway, so I've been experimenting with this. It is not actually working. It's a lot of work, and I have a lot of other projects in mind, so it didn't really get anywhere. Anyway, but if you have been thinking along the same lines, then please come to me. Maybe if we join our forces, we can actually get somewhere. Because like working alone just for myself is not very motivating, but I could use some help. So yeah, I think that's all that I wanted to tell you about. I also have a list of references if you're interested in that kind of stuff. There's a lot of references. I have not read all of them exactly, but yeah. I am Dorota. My website is dorotac.eu. And you can also chat with me on Mastodon if you cannot find me at the GPN. Yeah, thank you. I think it's time for questions.
Thank you very much for the inspiration. Do we have any questions in the audience? Yes.
Hi. So when we think about metadata with files, one software product comes to my mind, which is probably getting me some better views here, SharePoint, because there we get, or there we have the metadata store, but maybe we not really have a technical issue, but more a user acceptance problem that they used to. So we have the standard problem in IT. It just works. Why should we change it?
Yeah, I think hierarchical file systems are, in the first place, some kind of a compromise, because creating something more complicated always means more effort, and also always means changing our current thing, the It's the way that we interact with it. But I have also read a couple of papers on different kinds of interactions, and from one of them, there was a survey on a system which used tags instead of paths, and it was generally well received by users. So I think even if it's not perfect for everyone, it's for a certain demographic, it might be an improvement. But I don't know SharePoint, so. I can't really say anything more in detail.
Earlier in your talk, I wanted to ask you a kind of shitpost question, but I think by now I can imagine your answer. It would have been, is SQLite a file system, or is my email inbox a file system? And of course, they definitely are. But speaking about my email inbox, have you ever heard about not much mail?
Yeah, I even tried to implement something on top of it, and it kind of didn't meet my expectations. But I think going in that direction, like using not much for scanning your data, may be something good. I haven't shown you a screenshot, but I actually have a screenshot from Apple Spotlight, which is kind of answering your question. It is showing a different sources of data that you can query, and it includes files like mail and files like documents and even applications. So I think if you wanted to have a file system, email would be like a first-class citizen, so the tools would overlap.
There is mFiles. It is this, I think, Finnish company who runs it for enterprise metadata file system for enterprises, Windows specific, and we tried to implement it. It was terrible. You had always the problem. You had to make metadata mandatory. Otherwise, users can't find their files. On the other hand, you had too much mandatory fields. Users were complaining about filling them out. So the idea is great. It didn't work that great.
So I think I had not managed to fit in the presentation, but I think tagging sucks also. It doesn't suck in the same way as making paths, but tagging sucks. Therefore, I think what macOS does right is it tries to use some machine learning to find out most of the contents of it. And I think this is not going to go anywhere unless all the important metadata is already set by applications or by some part of the system without you having to think about it.
Hello. In regards of NTFS, I personally think that NTFS by itself isn't hierarchically. It is only the presentation layer of NTFS which is hierarchically. NTFS itself is some sort of object store, more or less, where you have a data object that has some key value stores. Mm-hmm. And when you consider this, then you would tend to put it more in the direction of the database-driven things. And if you look in the Explorer, for example, you have over 200 potential attributes pre-configured. You can tag either automatically or manually. So I think we are quite on a way towards this database thing. And I think it's more like user acceptance that Microsoft had not gone this way. People used to have the folders this and that and put data in there and that. But when we take a deeper look on this tech-based thing, I personally would think with the sum model and so on, finding pictures and of your mother, then you have a sum where all the pictures of your mother are in. But yeah, let's see how this will be in the future. If more acceptance is coming, what do you think?
Well, I didn't know about NTFS. Thank you for that information. I think the user acceptance is going to come judging by where the mobiles are going. I mean, the user experience of hierarchy sucks, and I think phones are for the average person, and they recognize that it's difficult to use it. So I think things have been going more with like filling the gap with AI, but providing a nice query way. I don't really know where it's going to develop in the way, but I hope this might be the direction.
Thanks for the talk. It was very interesting. I have a lot of thoughts. I think I'm going to try to just ask two questions. One is, I think basically your whole topic is very related to actually like sociology and psychology in a way. And I feel like this framing appeared a little bit in your talk, but it was always more like at the edges. And I was wondering if you like thought about it more in, like, there are concepts like path dependency in social science, and there's this whole human-computer interaction research and stuff like, I don't know, social model of disability and stuff like that, I think are very related to this whole subject. My first question is if you have basically thought about any of that. And my second question is a little bit related to, like, I guess in the whole ML space and big data space, companies are doing a lot with, you know, files or any kind of data with non-hierarchical file systems, I would say. Did you like look into what they are doing there, or is, I feel like the talk was very much centered around just, I don't know, personal computers, I would say.
So no, I have not looked into what the AI companies are doing. I have mostly come from the side of, I have problems and I want to solve my problems. But I do think that there is a psychological aspect, although I also have not put a lot of thought into it. But I think like being stuck with hierarchy here is all path dependence. So that's most I can say. I really had a very little time to exhaustively prepare this talk.
Okay, one last question. Is there one with very pressing matters? Yeah, sorry, you're too far away.
Hi, thank you. The talk was really relatable and yeah, was pretty much everything that I cared about. I think with the NTFS thing, it's, as far as I know, having looked into NTFS 3D, it is actually hierarchical, but it does sound like really much what you meant with HFS, the original, which implemented ResourceFox to emulate path over the object storage. But yes, NTFS has this resource for alternative data streams to do this kind of object storage. But I think when it comes to user acceptance, we have to look at specific applications, as you already said, like Gmail already basically replaced folders by tagging, and it's, I think, one of the reasons why it's very popular over many others. And I think if we want to kind of deprecate file systems, applications that push for use case specific file systems are currently leading there. So we have Gmail, we have, I don't know, Notion, or all those notating apps, or Zettelkasten method, which all try to kind of find their own way to solve this data finding storage. The problem is that we don't have this common layer anymore. That's kind of like, this is a sad thing, especially also if we want to copy data from A to B. So for example, also if you have images, we want to maybe store alternative text with the images and so on and so forth. And having the data copied, and if I tag something, someone else might take it differently. I think that's the problem is interoperability suddenly, and not user acceptance, because user acceptance is getting pushed by all those application-specific solutions in a way. But if I use Notion, someone else uses something different. Copying the data, that's, I think, what I see where the problem is. And the cloud is the easiest solution, because everyone uses Notion in the cloud, then there's not this problem isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I think there is a distinction between data that generically applies to some file and the data that is only meaningful to you. And when copying, you would have to distinguish them, but I haven't really thought about this properly, so I'm going to probably put my mind on it. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, I guess the rest of you will just have to be meeting afterwards, but you'll be around today, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow? No?
Both.
Both. Okay. So, this is it. Thank you for attending. Thank you for being a lovely audience. And have a nice GPN.